Brethren, it's time for us to get underway with our Bible study, and good to see everyone, and just looking forward to this study, and so thankful that we have a beautiful Lord's Day. So we have a lot of things to be thankful for. And so we'll get underway with our study, and we'll be led in prayer at this time. Made a comment about a beautiful day and looking forward to coming together. And many times when the Lord's Day is close at hand, I think about the old Apostle Paul. That's quoted over there in about the 20th chapter of Acts. How he prepared himself to be at a certain location and meet with the saints. Isn't it wonderful that we have this opportunity? Come together and get away from all those things out there in the world that we're confronted with from time to time, and come together and meet with those of like precious faith. I'm looking forward to the study, and I'll say again, as I've said many times, if I make a comment or something that's not in harmony with God's Word, you'll become the best friend that I've ever had. Because if I teach something that's contrary to the Word, it'll cause someone to become unfaithful and lose that hope for eternal life. I'd feel rather guilty because I know what the consequences would be. So I certainly never strive to overlook things that I may err on and be corrected. So you feel free to do so. Now, as you know, we're in the study of 1 Peter. And this great character, I tell you, I just, get more impressed with him as I continue to study things he has to say. And regardless of what some people in the so-called religious world would say about Peter and what position he held, but he was a man just like you and I. And Peter didn't sin, did he? No. We know that Peter sinned. But a characteristic that he exhibited that all of us should have. He was so sorrowful that he went out and wept, didn't he? So as we sin, we ought to have a like attitude. And I just, have a great appreciation for you permitting me to have this study or lead the discussions in this study and so forth. Now, for a quick review, as you notice in the things that were said there in the first chapter, but I want to emphasize in verse 11 and 12 that these things that that were said here how the prophets revealed, but they did not understand. These things They talked about them, but they didn't fully understand. But to you, those who have preached the gospel by the gospel, by the Holy Spirit, have reported things which angels desire to look into. So now, we're also instructed to prepare our minds and rest upon the hope that has been to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now remember Peter in his writings, those who had obeyed the gospel and how you became people of God. That's what he's trying to get over to these people. How that they're living stones. And I'll not go through our last week's lesson talking about the living stones, but living stones. And so he's referring to this, that they are living stones. And then looking back in the... let me make this comment. But Peter now is writing to those who have obeyed the gospel. And he's also pointing out to them in his writings how you became people of God and how you became living stones. And now, he also emphasizes that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And if you and I understand building a building, or we used to say even building a pig pen, you have to get that corner right for everything to fit. Otherwise, you'll be off. In fact, I recall our great highway department in Alabama, just south of Montgomery on US 231, when there were four lanes in the road. Some started on the south side and some on the north side. And when they met, do you think they were within an inch? They were off some few feet. So if you know where that spot is there, you'll notice there's a little this in the road. And so, Christ being the chief cornerstone, everything originates from that corner. And so now as we pick up in the second chapter in the 11th verse, I believe it is, we are exhorted, that is, we're encouraged to be faithful, not only for ourselves and so forth, but to others also, whereby they may observe and glorify God in the day of visitation. Yes, I'm sure that all of us could recall those days in our lives when others looked at us and says, "Well, you're a little bit different, aren't you? Why are you different?" If you never had that question raised, I'd say you're almost a lone wolf, because if you live the faithful life and exhibit that life as a child of God, every day of your life as you mingle among the world, there's going to be somebody that's going to raise a question or make a statement. Well, you're a little different than somebody else or other folks that I've known. And so a consistent life in harmony with the will of God has an impact on unbelievers. And I'm sure that all of us could recall comments that we've heard along that line. And many times it will cause others to examine their lives and have a desire to obey the gospel and become a child of God. So let's never forget that our life is on display every hour that we are out in public. And remember now, all men have influence. You ever studied psychology? Even the psychologist will tell us that. That all men, I don't care who you are, you have some influence upon somebody else. Now, it may not be good, but you have influence. And so, you and I, as a child of God, we should always strive to make sure that influence is in the right perspective. So, also, being subject to civil authorities we can have influence. That is, well, here's these regulations. I just don't agree with them. I'm not going to obey those today, you know. And all of us, I'm sure, catch ourselves occasionally making an error here, and we need to correct it as we recognize that. Just like our speed laws. You know, I apologize for being guilty at times, but when I catch it myself, I do try to correct it. And I encourage, and I know that's a trivial thing in some people's eyes, but that's the law of the land, or wherever we live. So, let's show proper respect to those who are maybe harsh and overbearing. And if you're that personality that, as the Apostle Peter was, you know, he was a real outspoken fella. And sometimes you and I may find ourselves in that category. And we need to show proper respect for those who are in authority. Then in our lesson today, we'll even talk about the women, our wives. And I've studied a little bit on this now of history, and as we see some things in the world today that's not in harmony with God's Word. But wives should be subject to their husbands. And I'm not talking about now being mistreated or anything like that. And we'll talk about that a little later. But in those first seven verses, we'll talk about this. And husbands have an equal responsibility. As I pointed out, husbands ought to treat their wives as a fragile vessel. Do not mistreat. Remember, our wives are joint heirs of life. Now, as brethren, we should treat everyone how? With compassion. We should love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous. And now remember, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And also, we'll talk about who God hears. Many people in the so-called religious world today do not understand that God does not hear everyone. Now, let me qualify the word hear. We think about hearing as the sound that comes through these two gadgets on our head. And it may do. But the hearing he's talking about is the intellect part. In other words, God does not hear. He does not listen to their complaints or whatever, or what they have to say. That is, if it's not in accord with what he teaches. In fact, you can turn to the Scriptures and you can find several times. I just made a notation of two over in John, the 9th chapter and 31st verse. God does not hear sinners. And then if you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to Isaiah, about the first chapter in verses 10 and 15, where he talks about, I will hide my eyes from you because of your sin or your disobedience. And I know though that particular subject out in the so-called religious world used to be kind of a heated argument or discussion at times. But anyway, those are some of the comments. Well, a few other comments. Introduction to our lesson is that we as children of God, we have a responsibility to obey the laws of our land. Now, we may disagree with them, but we still have a responsibility to obey. Also, servants Be submissive to your masters, even if they're harsh. And I'm sure that all of us can recall some days along that line. But the point is, if they're our masters and we serve under them, then we'll be submissive so long as it does not cause us to become unfaithful as a child of God. And I notice a comment here that is written down. Treat everyone the right way. The word right in our English language, and I'm not an authority along this line, but I just happened to call this up. R-I-G-H-T says do right. Right is a relative term. It means, when I say right, what is the standard? And so we need to understand that when we see some of these words like this, we need to get the real meaning of those words as to what we're talking about. So, in other words, treat everyone the right way. Based upon what? Based upon the Scriptures. That is, you have compassion, you love as brothers, you're tender-hearted, and you're courteous. Anybody else don't mind definitions of some of these things? I have a habit of going to some dictionaries, but I just don't remember a lot of things. But I keep reminding myself to go to those dictionaries and find out what the true meaning of some of these words are. So as we get ready to begin our study, anybody else got any additions to the comments that have been made? May not have an opportunity later now. We just started with our questions, and I don't remember which side we started on. But why don't we just start right here?
Two words are used in verse 11 to describe Christians. Sojourners and pilgrims.
Sojourners and pilgrims. Someone give me a good understanding of what these two words mean.
Just passing through.
Sojourners means just passing through. And really signifying that we're not necessarily citizens of this world, although we're supposed to qualify to be a citizen of whatever land we're living in. But the point is, we're sojourners. We're just passing through. And I remember in history when they talked about those people that came from another land to this continent. And they called them pilgrims. They were pilgrims. Well, at that point in time, they were just passing through. A lot of them stayed, but they were just passing through. Any other comments along that line? I appreciate you making that comment, because this is what we're talking about. We're not just necessarily talking about, you know, people of the world. We're talking about zeroing in on what he's talking about here. Any other comments? Number two. War against the soul. Well, there in verse 11, I believe it is, Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." So now, what is carrying on the war? The fleshly lusts. Lust is those things that we're desiring that is of the world. And so we need to understand now that this is what he's talking about, is these things of the flesh. And it could be many things. We could broaden this out and have a discussion for a few hours probably. But we need to understand he's talking about those things that are fleshly lust. And they're competing with our soul. And who is leading this charge against us? The devil. And we need to understand that. He never sleeps. He's out there 365 and, what is it, 1/4 days of the year? I believe that's what the calendar says, although it rounds it off. But yes, he is constantly warring against the soul. Number three. Well, some people advocate that visitation is the judgment day. But let's get some other comments on that. Anybody have any comments on that word visitation? I know somebody's got to have some. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Well, first off, I think about glorifying God, that is, when our Lord comes back. But I think it has a little more of a meaning than that. In other words, glorify God in the day of visitation. Anybody else got any comments? Well, if not, we'll look on to the next question. And as we started out in our discussion talking about meanings of words, and let me encourage you to speak up if I miss this meaning now. But it says, for the Lord's sake. What are we saying when we say the sake of the Lord? Let me add one other word to this. When we say the Lord's sake, it's for His benefit. It's for His benefit. I mean, sure, it could be for our benefit, but for the Lord's sake, forsake has to do with the benefit. The benefit. So the Lord's benefit. And when we say the Lord's benefit, well, for the great effort that He has put forth to reveal these things to us. So, any other comments? If not, number five. Two purposes for rulers serving, according to that 14th verse. As Brother Dave has pointed out to us, and it's to the governors of those who are sent by the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And if those that are in this position, if they do not operate according to what is laid forth from the Lord, then they're failing to fulfill their responsibilities, regardless of what kind of responsibilities they have to the local people and so forth, otherwise. In other words, they are to fulfill their responsibilities of punishing the evildoers. And I'm sure that you and I get sick from day to day as we listen to some of this. We hear out in public or through the news media and so forth as to how those that are in charge, how they're not fulfilling their responsibilities of service in the capacity that they are fulfilling. Next question. Number six, is it? My friends, as we go through this, let's make note of some things that you and I can do to help quiet some of the things that go on. That is, in other words, we can fulfill our responsibilities by just putting to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And I'm sure that you've heard me make this comment from time to time as we have been among friends and acquaintances and somebody start making some comments that's not in accord with the Word. And if we'll have such a knowledge that we can always refer back to the Scriptures. Oh, I don't say that all of us can quote chapter and verse and so forth every time, but we know enough of the Scriptures that we can quote the meaning of those Scriptures. And I would say that if you have done this, you have noticed those that made those kind of comments, how they soon disappear from your presence. Because they don't like the truth. They think that their mentality generates the truth. And their mentality does not, unless it's been trained and implemented the knowledge there. Any other comments? Number seven? Yes, we have freedom. But my friends, let's never misuse that opportunity. Let's never misuse the privilege that we have remember that we're bond servants of God. Any other comments? Number 8. Comments there fulfills all that I would be able to comment on. But to honor all, we can show honor to all men. But let us also remember that by showing honor that we do not forsake being able to say those things that has to do with our, that have to do with our living a life as a child of God. But we are to show honor to all. And comment that I've always used is we're to show honor to all until that other person proves to us that we don't need to honor him anymore. In other words, he's got to prove to us that he should not have our honor. And I believe I've seen a few cases like that. And I don't know about your life, but if you've been out in the workaday world and living among people of the world, I'm sure you run across those situations we cannot show honor to those that do not want honor. That is, that rebel. And love the brotherhood. Does that include, here's my brother, but he and I we just don't, let me use a terminology in the country, we just don't jihad. Whatever that means. You understand, don't you? But just because we're a little bit different doesn't mean that we do not show honor one to the other. So we need to recognize that we all have our individual likes and dislikes and things and so forth, but it should not interfere with us showing honor to all. Any other comments? If not, we'll move on to what, number 9? Anybody else over here? Number 9? I feel that most of you are in the same category that I have been in. Those who are over us, many times, we just do not appreciate their attitudes and the actions they take. But if they're over us, we still should show respect, not agreeing with their sinful ways now, but we can show respect to them as to the position that they hold. And let me illustrate it like this. In the political arena, and I'll just go all the way to the top of the list in our country, the individual that's serving as our president, not just today, but during any period of time, I show respect for the office. I may disagree with him 360 degrees, as the old saying goes. But the point is, I show respect for the office. Am I correct on that? And that's about the best I can do, is just show respect for the office. Just like if I'm in the workaday world and whoever is over me, I may show respect for the position that he holds or she holds, but I may disagree with them as to how they go about it. Any other comments? And that word fair or fairly is a relative term depending on who's looking at it. And we need to understand that. And I encourage all of us, and hey, I'm guilty. I don't understand all the meanings of these words. I have to go get the dictionary most times and look them up. But we need to have a working knowledge of what things mean. And I misuse words often. It does not mean what I'm trying to portray. And other people, I feel, are the same way, as I have listened to some down through the ages. I'm not that old now. That's just a term. Now, number 10. Sister, that's tough. When you're trying to do good and the way it ought to be done, and then you're confronted about that, that's naughty. Particularly to those of us that are a little bit outspoken. But we're to take it patiently, and it's because of conscience toward God. Number 11. The best and the greatest example that I know. If you know something any greater, let me know. But he set the example for us. Number 13. Why did he die? Well, he bore our sins, didn't he? In his own body. That we, having died to sins, that we might live for righteousness, healed by his stripes. Yes. In other words, Christ died and bore our sins in his own body. Any other comments along that line? If not, let's move on to number 14. Okay. In other words, wives win over unbelieving husbands. That's a good answer. Let's look at number 15. Number 15. Number 16. All right. In other words, she and also refers to those holy women in former times. In other words, she's used as example, but we need to emphasize this. And I have a little story along that line I pass up now, because I saw some older folks in my early days, how they showed respect. And we'll talk about that at a later hour. Number 17.
What responsibility does a husband have towards his wife when he's treated with respect?
Okay. In other words, deal with them and show respect. Just dwell with them, understanding, and understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. And also remember that we're all heirs together of the grace of life. Number 18.
What can be hindered if a husband mistreats his wife? And there at the end of verse 7 says that your prayers may not be hindered.
Okay. You mean to tell me we can do something that would hinder our prayers? And I believe he's talking about our prayers being hindered, that is, being answered by the Lord. Am I right? Let's look on to number 19.
How should Christians treat each other? Verse 8 is harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble.
Right. Yeah, be of one mind. Have compassion for others. Love as brothers. Tender-hearted and courteous. Number 20. Brings on about a 2-hour discussion, but I'll hold my comments. Number 21.
What we need to do is to love life and speak of days. If you look at verses 10 and 11 there, basically says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good.
Yes, we all could remind ourselves, or should come to have a knowledge of that, and remind ourselves as we are confronted in this life that we can see good days. And number 22. Yes. How many times have we heard people say things contradictory to that? That God answers all prayers. Well, now, if you're thinking about silence as being an answer, yes, He answers all prayers. But most people do not accept silence as an answer. But as we look here in John, the 9th chapter and the 31st verse, God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, and He hears. That's not all that scripture. And does His will, He hears them. So we need to take note of that. Just because one has obeyed the gospel, if he's not living faithful, then does God hear all of his prayers? I put a question mark up there. Because, in other words, if one is not doing his will, is God going to hear him? Just read the scriptures, all I say. Many other things I could say, but I appreciate your attention and your contribution. So we'll close there and prepare for our worship service.